This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for August 26th, 2011. I'm Natalie Pynchon. I will be reading a summary of articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery today. The article topics in this podcast are traumatic brain injury, vestibular schwannoma, vascular disorders, and stereotactic radiosurgery. Two articles of general interest are also featured. Publication patterns of oral and poster presentations at the annual meetings of the Congress of Neurological Surgeons and the American Association of Neurological Surgeons. A clinical article by Akash Patel and colleagues. In national and international meetings, there are always a plethora of abstracts submitted in the form of oral or poster presentations, which are vital to gathering and sharing research. To determine the numbers of presentations published, the authors investigated those abstracts that were submitted from 2003 to 2005 at the annual meetings of the Congress of Neurological Surgeons and the American Association of Neurological Surgeons. The authors found that approximately 30% of the total number of abstracts were eventually published, including 40% of oral presentations and 30% of poster presentations. Of the studies eventually published, 99% were published within 5 years of being presented at one of the two annual meetings. Most of the abstracts were published in either the Journal of Neurosurgery or Neurosurgery. Postoperative outcomes following closed head injury and craniotomy for evacuation of hematoma in patients older than 80 years. A clinical article by Daryl Law and colleagues. In this study, the authors explored the question of the influence of older age, specifically age over 80 years, on outcomes following surgical treatment of hematoma. Among a consecutive population of patients undergoing emergent craniotomy for evacuation of intracranial hematomas following closed head trauma between 2006 and 2009, the team assessed differences in complication risk, hospital and neurosurgical ICU stay, requirement for rehabilitation, return to functional baseline, and mortality. They compared outcomes among patients older than 80 years with outcomes in younger adults. Of 103 patients, 27 patients were older than 80 years, and 76 patients were 80 years old or younger. Older age was a significant predictor of longer length of hospital stay, over 5 times higher likelihood of complications, and over 3 times higher likelihood of requiring rehabilitation. However, the study's main findings were that there were no statistically significant differences in 30-day mortality or recovery to functional baseline between age groups. The findings suggest that the ability to return to pre-injury functional baseline may be similar in patients over 80 years old and younger patients, but older patients may require increased postoperative medical attention in the forms of rehabilitation and longer hospital stays. Diffusion tensor imaging-based fiber tracking for prediction of the position of the facial nerve in relation to large vestibular schwannomas. A clinical article by Venelin Gerganov and co-workers. The preservation of the facial nerve in patients with large vestibular schwannomas may be challenging. Its identification during surgery is based on its anatomical relationships and on electrophysiological findings. Diffusion tensor imaging-based fiber tracking is currently widely used to preoperatively delineate functionally different fiber groups such as the pyramidal tract, optic radiation, or arcuate fasciculus. The integration of these data in a navigation system is of great help for the surgeon and ultimately leads to increased safety of surgery. In this prospective correlative study, the authors evaluated the reliability of the information provided by the diffusion tensor imaging-based facial nerve fiber tracking in 22 patients with large vestibular schwannomas. In particular, they assessed the location of the cisternal segment of the nerve in relation to the tumor, and they compared it to the intraoperatively determined nerve location. Their findings showed that the position of the facial nerve in relation to the tumor could be reliably predicted using diffusion tensor imaging-based fiber tracking. The location of the cerebellopontine angle segment of the facial nerve in relation to the vestibular schwannoma determined during surgery corresponded to the location of the fibers in 20 of the 22 patients, as predicted by the diffusion tensor imaging-based fiber tracking. The authors believe that the reliable preoperative visualization of the nerve location is valuable additional information for the surgeon. This information could assist in planning the tumor removal and may increase the safety of this type of surgery. Increasing treatment of ruptured cerebral aneurysms at high-volume centers in the United States. A clinical article by Caleb Brandon Leek and colleagues. The authors used the United States National Inpatient Sample for the years 2001 to 2008 to determine the number of ruptured aneurysms treated with clipping or coiling annually at low-volume and high-volume medical centers. They defined low-volume centers as those treating less than 20 cases per year and high-volume as more than 20 cases per year. They also counted the number of high- and low-volume centers performing each treatment. In 2001, 31% of patients who underwent clipping were treated at high-volume medical centers. No patients underwent coiling. In 2008, 62% of those treated with clipping and 68% of those treated with coiling underwent these procedures at high-volume medical institutions. The number of low-volume centers performing the clipping procedures declined from 177 centers in 2001 to 85 centers in 2008. Whereas the number of high-volume institutions performing this procedure remained relatively constant. The number of low-volume centers performing the coiling procedures decreased from 62 centers in 2001 to 54 centers in 2008, whereas the number of high-volume centers substantially increased from 0 in 2001 to 16 centers in 2005, and remained constant thereafter. The treatment of ruptured cerebral aneurysms increasingly occurs at high-volume centers in the United States. The authors state that this is a favorable trend in that better outcomes are associated with the care of these patients at high-volume centers. Factors associated with hearing preservation after gamma knife surgery for vestibular schwannomas in patients who retain serviceable hearing. A clinical article by Toshinori Hasegawa and co-authors. To date, numerous investigators have proved that gamma knife surgery is a safe and effective treatment for small to medium-sized vestibular schwannomas over relatively long-term outcomes and can be an acceptable alternative to surgical removal. However, hearing outcomes after gamma knife surgery remain unsatisfactory, even with recent radiosurgical techniques. Thus, the authors of the present study retrospectively evaluated the relatively long-term hearing preservation rate, focusing on 117 patients with vestibular schwannomas who had serviceable hearing of Gardner-Robertson class 1 or 2 at the time of treatment. In addition, various factors related to hearing preservation after treatment were also investigated. The results demonstrated that the majority of patients with small to medium-sized vestibular schwannomas achieve satisfactory long-term tumor control and experience many fewer complications other than hearing deterioration. Patients with Gardner-Robertson class 1 hearing and a lower radiation dose to the cochlea at the time of Gamma Knife surgery significantly retained serviceable hearing after treatment. The authors state that it is necessary to collect detailed radiosurgical treatment data in more patients who have undergone recent techniques and to establish a methodology to achieve both long-term tumor control and hearing preservation. Research productivity in neurosurgery, trends in globalization, scientific focus, and funding. A review article by Jason Scott Hapman and co-authors. Research is critical to the survival and evolution of neurosurgery as a discipline. In order to evaluate the state of research in neurosurgery, this paper quantified trends in published work from neurosurgeons around the globe. Using a previously described Medline search algorithm, the authors examined trends with regards to study design, overall growth, subspecialty topics, and NIH funding. This search revealed 53,000 articles published between 1996 and 2009. The United States and Japan were the leading countries of origin for these articles, comprising about half of the neurosurgical literature. Marked growth in productivity was noted in China, South Korea, India, and Turkey. The majority of publications were case reports, reviews, and general research articles. Clinical trials have recently undergone a decline in productivity and have approached 2004 productivity levels. Interestingly, the authors noted a reduction in the relative contribution of NIH-funded publications to overall U.S. productivity. The authors conclude that neurosurgery demonstrates continued increases in productivity as well as global expansion, though U.S. contributions remain dominant. Two challenges include the preponderance of case reports and review articles and the relative decline in NIH funding for U.S. neurosurgical publications as productivity has outpaced government financial support. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.